Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 11 through 16. And while we read this passage of Scripture today and study this passage of Scripture, I think it's important for you and for me to keep in mind some character flaws that we see here of Saul now that he's been in office for a little while. He had reigned 2 years. He had had a little victory. The Philistines have now gathered themselves together to fight. And Saul's men are scattered. And something goes desperately wrong with Saul. Let's read. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with them, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. There's some terrible character flaws that have now become apparent in King Saul that weren't apparent earlier when he first took the kingdom, when he was chosen to be king over Israel. He seemed to be and was in so many respects a good man, but the rule had gone to his head. And now he was demonstrating some character flaws that would be the end of him as king of Israel, and would be the ruin of him over the next few decades as he served out the remainder of his reign. What he had done is that he offered a burnt offering that obviously he was not supposed to offer. Samuel was the one who was offering the burnt offerings. You'll remember when we were studying in an earlier lesson that Samuel had a circuit. He would go from place to place. And in that circuit, he would offer the offerings of the people, because he didn't want them to be offering on the high places to false gods. He was the one that God allowed to make those offerings, and he was the one that had given Saul specific instructions: "When we meet at Gilgal, wait for me 7 days, and then I'll come and we'll have the offering," and so forth and so on. So he knew, that is, Saul knew, that what he did in offering the burnt offering was something that was not right, but he did it anyway. So we want to look at this, because he's caught red-handed when Samuel comes to him and he says, "What hast thou done?" There are several things that really become apparent right away. And let's look at them in the text here in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 11 to 16, because not only did it demonstrate some things about Saul, but they are lessons to us as well. And we need to take heed to these things. Notice, first of all, that he knew that what he was doing was wrong. He said in verse 12, "I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." You see that? "I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." He knew that what he was doing was wrong. Do you know something? The fact that he knew that he was doing something wrong is the reason that he lost the kingdom in verse 13. That's the consequence. He did not calculate the consequence when he made the decision. He simply acted on the impulse of doing something. And the impulse that he acted upon was something that he knew before he did it he wasn't supposed to do. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, "It is never right to do wrong in order to get an opportunity to do something right, or in order to get a chance to do right. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right." And Saul, we'll see, has some alibis for the decision that he made, but it doesn't change what he did. In other words, when you consider your life and the opportunities that are available for you to do things that are right and to do things that are wrong, if whatever you're planning to do is wrong, then don't do it. Period. The first thought that ought to come to mind is this the right thing? And if it's not the right thing, you have already determined that you have no business doing it. Do you understand? Saul had a character flaw that basically allowed him to look at something that was wrong, that he knew was wrong, and go ahead and do it anyway. You ought to have a conviction. You ought to have a guideline. You ought to have a principle of life that simplifies the decisions you have to make and the actions that you have to take based upon those decisions. It will make everything in your life go a lot more simply. It would have made everything in Saul's life go a lot more simply, and he wouldn't have lost the kingdom. And the principle is simply this: before I do anything about the decision, before I take any action on the decision, I'm going to ask myself this question: is it right? And if the answer to that question is, it is right, then I will evaluate the decision based on some other things. But if the answer to the question is, it is wrong, then I'm not even going to bother with B, C, D, E, and F. Because if it's not the right thing to do, I have no business even debating it in my mind, or even considering it in my mind. I'll give you one that's very simple for young people. The Bible makes it very plain that you're to marry people that are saved. Well then, it doesn't do you any good to date somebody or to court somebody who's lost. That decision from the beginning is the wrong decision. Do you understand? You say, but you don't understand this and that, and I know people who this and that. Yeah, I know. I know. Many of us can look back on decisions that we made in our past, and God worked out circumstances in spite of our stupidity, and that's not justification for you to go and proceed down a path that you know isn't right. Do you understand? And same way with Saul. He had a character flaw that just basically said, even though I'm going to evaluate this decision and determine that it's not the right thing to do, I'm going to go ahead and proceed. Do you understand? I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. That's what he said. So he said, first of all, I know what I was doing was wrong. And if you know that, don't proceed with the decision. All right, now what's another situation here with Saul? Second thing is, he did not consider the consequences of his decision. Okay? You have to take into account the consequences. Verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue." Well, he should have thought about that consequence. And he did not consider that consequence. Listen, all of the things that Samuel told Saul, that Saul would encounter were things to prove to Saul that God, in fact, had given him the kingdom. In other words, that he would be the king. Samuel told him, he said, look, first of all, the asses are found. We're talking about 1 Samuel chapter 10. All right? Secondly, you're going to go from here to the plain of Tabor, and three men are going to meet you. One is going to be carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine. They will salute thee, give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. Then you're going to come to the hill of God where the Philistines are, where the garrison of the Philistines are. All right? Some prophets are coming down. The Spirit of the Lord is going to come on you. You're going to prophesy with them. Then verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 10, thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And then God gave him another heart, and everything came to pass just like Samuel said. All of these things are associated with Saul being anointed as the king over Israel. So when Saul makes a decision to disobey the Lord and offer the sacrifice that Samuel said he would offer, then the consequences are going to affect the very kingdom that those signs proved he would rule. And he didn't consider those consequences. And therefore, he was foolish. And therefore, he lost the kingdom. So when you're evaluating Saul's character and you consider what Saul does from here out, you're going to find that when it concerns spiritual matters, he doesn't evaluate the consequences of his decisions to try to kill David, to inquire of a woman with a familiar spirit, to disobey God. And therefore his spiritual character flaws, which include the failure to evaluate consequences, lead to his spiritual demise every single time. May I tell you something? You've got to think about the consequences. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you are not going to pray away the consequences of sin. You're not going to escape the consequences of sin and disobedience against God. If you make a decision that for some reason you are justified in not going to church, in not praying, in not seeking the counsel of the Lord in decisions you make, in not seeking counsel from the words of God, in not telling your lost family members about the Lord Jesus Christ, there are consequences to those decisions, and you will face those. You have to consider the consequences, or you're going to end up in the same situation that Saul did. Let's look at another one. In verse 11, Samuel said, what hast thou done? Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together to Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now to me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication of the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. You know what he did? He contemplated the excuses, okay, before making the decision. Do you see that? He contemplated the excuses before making the decision. Let me just put it to you in a very simple context. You know, in other words, he's looking at this situation and he sizes it up and he says, wait a minute, the people are leaving me. Samuel's not here and it's been 7 days. And the Philistines might attack. I'm going to go ahead and offer this offering. Alibis. Spiritual alibis. People are great about this. In other words, the first thing that comes to Saul's mind is, how can I justify myself in something that I'm fixing to do that I know is wrong without regard to the consequences? And that's a character flaw. When I was a child, I told you I would just compare this to something that was very simple. When I was a child, I was very eager to comply with my parents' demands. You know, they'd say, would you do this? Oh, yes. Because I wanted to look like I was a very agreeable and obedient son. My friends would say, hey, you want to go here or there? I'd say yes. I was a people pleaser. And I didn't want to tell them no. I said, sure, I'll figure out a way to get this done. And boy, you really get yourself in a trap when you've got one person says, hey, you want to do this? You say yes. And another person says, hey, you want to do this? And you say yes. And those two things conflict. Now you've got to find a way to get out of the problem you've just created for yourself. I know when you were younger, you probably never had that problem, but I did. Now let me tell you something. I became excellent at agreeing to do something and immediately beginning to formulate the excuses that would allow me to get out of doing what I said I was going to do. Do you understand? And there was Dad says, you want to mow the grass? Yeah, I'll mow the grass. I'll have it mowed by Saturday. And now I'm already cooking up excuses. Too much homework. My friends wanted me to go over here. Grass was wet. Mower wouldn't start. Yeah, just go down the list, man. Kids, that's the way kids are. You know, all the excuses. My grandmother died. The dog ate my homework. Right, all that stuff. All right, that's a child's play. And that's what Saul got into here. He formulated the excuses before making the decision. In other words, it doesn't make any difference if what I'm using to justify my decision is any good. I just want to make sure I have enough spiritual alibis to be able to maybe convince somebody that, hey, yeah, if I was in your shoes, I'd have done the same thing. Have you ever watched people making stupid decisions and then you question them or somebody else questions them and they say, well, I prayed about it. Sure, you've seen that. I've watched that many, many times where people say, well, I prayed about it. You know, did you seek counsel? Oh, yeah. Here's little Johnny, right? Did you seek counsel? Yeah. I asked little Billy Bob whether he thought it would be a good idea for us to go down to the creek. And Billy Bob said, man, that'd be a great idea. Let's go. That's not seeking counsel. That's seeking approval for stupidity. Do you understand? And that was Saul's spiritual character flaw. He excused himself. He provided spiritual alibis for foolishness. And those spiritual alibis, let me tell you something, they don't change the outcome. All they do is give you the opportunity to explain to somebody as stupid as you are why you made the stupid decision that you did. And you know something? You're going to still pay the price. And Saul did. But it's a flaw. So may I tell you something? What you've seen so far? If you know a thing is wrong, don't even debate it in your head. Just put it aside. It ain't going to happen. Before you make any decision, consider the consequences. You have to. And if those consequences show you that you're going to suffer something as a result of disobedience against God, book it. You're going to face those consequences. And you know something? If you're quick to come up with spiritual alibis and justifications for your action, be very, very scared about the types of decisions that you are preparing to make. Because you can convince fools of your foolishness, but you can't convince wise men, and you cannot convince the Lord. Okay? I'll tell you something else he did wrong. A spiritual character flaw. He didn't take this matter up with the Lord. He did not consider the Lord in his decision at all. You get that? Look at verse 11 again. I saw the people were scattered from me. Okay, well, Gideon had 300 men with whom he fought. But he started out with 32,000. David went out after Goliath all by himself. Listen, it didn't make any difference that people were leaving him. What do you expect people to do when they see a formidable enemy like the Philistines with 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and so many people they couldn't even number them? Well, of course people are going to be scattered from you. But if God's not scattered from you, what's the big deal? And that thou camest not within the days appointed. What an excuse. If Samuel says, I'm going to be there in 7 days, this is the seventh day. If he doesn't show up till the eighth day, he's still the one that has to offer the sacrifice. And that the Philistines gather themselves together at Michmash, what do you think they're going to do after you attack and destroy one of their garrisons? Let me tell you something, man. You look at David and you look at Gideon. Both of those men, when they saw what they were up against, went directly to God and spoke to him and inquired of him about the matter, and then they made their decisions after considering the Lord. And Saul didn't even give the Lord any consideration. He just looked around at the circumstances and said, this doesn't look good. I better do something spiritual in the presence of all these people to keep them encouraged. Well, that was dumb. That didn't work. Listen, before you act on anything, you have got to find out where God is on a matter. And you do that through prayer, you do that through Bible reading, and you do that through godly counsel. And then you can evaluate the circumstances. Listen, these are desperately wicked spiritual character flaws, but I'm going to tell you something. There are people who call themselves Christians who demonstrate these character flaws by the thousands, multitudes, consider every angle on decisions they're going to make and never think to drop to their knees and spend time fasting and praying before the Lord to see if God will give them some direction. Doesn't the Bible say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? You know, a man has desires in his heart, but the Lord directs his steps. I'm not quoting the verse, but you know what I'm talking about. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. That's the verse, Proverbs 16:9. He didn't even take it up with the Lord. Let me tell you something else. Terrible character flaw. After hearing the bad news, that is, that he had lost the kingdom, he did not even repent. In verse 15, you know what he did? He numbered the people. He got Benjamin, and he got Jonathan, and they went off with their 600 men. Remember, they had 3,000 in the beginning of the chapter. Now they're down, 2,400 of them are gone. They got 600 men left, and they go down to Gibeah of Benjamin, and the Philistines encamped at Michmash. He didn't even bother to repent. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But you know something? As unbelievable as that is when you see it in the Scripture, how many times have you been faced with your own foolishness in disobedience to God and then have heard from the Lord, either through Scripture or preaching or a friend, that you messed up, and without repentance you just go right on your merry way like nothing ever happened? I've watched it. Being in the ministry, I've seen it time and time and time again. Oh, sometimes people will cry the big crocodile tears. And Saul's going to do that pretty soon when he confronts David on a couple of occasions. And David comes out and says, what are you chasing me down for? He's going to weep. You know, he's going to make a big show. He's going to worship and try to convince everybody that he's, you know, still the worthy king. But his heart, he does not repent. And he really didn't hear. He just went on business as usual. Samuel arose, got him up from Gilgal into Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600. Saul and Jonathan's people that were present with him, Bode and Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped me. Just business as usual. Going to go right on about the kingly affairs. Let me tell you something. That is a drastic mistake. Listen, if you have been caught by the Lord in a bad decision, the number one thing to do is stop and drop. Remember that old stop, drop, and roll fire thing? You need to stop and you need to drop and you need to get on your face before God and you need to straighten that matter out with Him. Absolutely, because otherwise you're going to go on and do the same stupid thing again and again and again. And you can't do that. You cannot do that. Let's go over these character flaws with Saul again, because you see them here, and we've explored them in great detail here. But you've got to make application as well. It's not enough just to talk about how Saul messed up. The spiritual character flaws are these. He knew what he was doing was wrong. Did it anyway. He didn't consider the consequences. He formulated his spiritual alibis, his spiritual excuses before making the decision. Well, you know you're going to make the wrong decision that way. He didn't consider the Lord in his decision at all. And he didn't even bother to repent when he found out that he was wrong. May I tell you something? If you're going to do your life the way Saul did, you're hopeless. And you're foolish. Please don't do that.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.